Start your own business today. B-Balance Hormone Weight Loss Centers provides a unique opportunity to address a growing demand to help millions of women over the age of 35. The B-Balance franchise has a patent-pending solution to lose stubborn weight, help women manage their mood and sleep issues that are all caused by hormonal shifts. Visit BeBalanceFranchise.com or call 800-361-8060. That's 800-361-8060 to learn more and start your own business today.
Hello and welcome to The Balanced Life. I'm Kim Kennedy, your guest host for today. And we are so pleased to have with us our monthly guest, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss. Dawn, hello.
Hi, how are you, Kim?
Doing very well. We're so glad to have you with us as always.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, especially our new listeners, who may not be overly familiar with Dawn. Dawn's been in the health field for over 25 years. She is degreed and certified in health and nutrition. Her start was in corporate fitness. Then she progressed to fitness management and running a women's weight loss center. She currently oversees the operation of the flagship Be Balanced Centers located in central Pennsylvania and fulfilling her more primary role as hormone health consultant to all franchisees going forward. Dawn is also the author of The Hormone Shift. And Dawn, I know that there were a couple of grand openings in our area last week of Be Balanced franchises, one in Bluebell and one in King of Prussia. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes. Well, they're both started basically about a month ago, just as a soft opening, but they did their grand openings this past Saturday. And one is run by a woman named Pam, who's a nurse in King of Prussia. And the other one is run by two women, Allison and Mary. Mary's mostly there most of the time. And they each have a few employees. And they're just super excited. They both, the owners, lost weight through the program themselves. And they also got rid of some specific symptoms they had related to hormones. They were just thrilled, and they both wanted to start businesses like a lot of women as they get older, and they maybe have some retirement money and say, hey, I want to do something for me now, and I want to help other women, make a good living by helping other people. How great is that? So they have just got started, and they've been doing extremely well. We go down and help them with things, and it's just been really neat to see, and we'll hopefully be spreading with a few more in the Philadelphia area as well as, the tri-state area. So, yeah, my brother David Cotillo is in charge of the franchising. So when people contact us, we put them in charge with him. Put them in touch with him. And, they can kind of feel this out a little bit if somebody ever wanted to do a business that way.
Okay, that's great. And, Dawn, I know that frees you up to do your passion, and that is talking about hormones and health and helping people get balanced. But I can tell you, folks, that I've seen both franchises. One is on 202, a little bit past the King of Prussia Mall, and the other one's on 202 as well in Bluebell, right past the intersection of Township Line Road, and I believe it's 202. I'm pretty sure it is, yes, right before the Montgomery County Community College, and both of them are beautiful facilities, very nicely done. I encourage you to look them up. I guess later, Dawn, we can find out the websites to go to visit to find these folks and make an appointment and go in and check it out.
Yes, they do a free consultation, and they'll do weekly little free seminars. We really like to educate women as to what's going on with their hormones to help them understand. And then if they want to work with us, great. But our foundation, I'll say for selling, sometimes people think selling's a bad word, but when you're in business, that's kind of what you're doing. But our foundation really for that is to educate women, help them really understand. So if they go away saying, thanks for the information, I just want to think about that, or at least you helped me understand my body better, we want to be a resource in the community for women to really understand their bodies, because I hate to say it, but sometimes doctors are in more of a rush. Sometimes doctors, they tend to be more male, too. And sometimes women will say, they didn't really listen to me, or, they didn't really spend the time. I don't think they even understood what I was saying.
And they have preconceived ideas.
Yeah, and they're a little more rushed to, try. And again, this is nothing against doctors, because we live in the greatest country in the world. We have great doctors. But when it comes to chronic issues like blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, and hormone issues, which is mood, weight, and sleep issues, and PMS and menopause issues, all these chronic things, we really need to get to the root of it and fix it, as opposed to just getting medication for the symptoms, like a specific antidepressant for your mood or a specific sleep medication because you can't sleep. It'd be better if we just fix the imbalance, and then you would not need all the medication. So that's kind of the route we go, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And we've been listening to you for many months now. I know you've become a favorite on The Balanced Life. And we have yet another topic we're tackling this week. And that is how hormones play a role in hair. And specifically talking about thinning hair, loss of hair. And yeah. Dawn, how many people in our country do suffer from that?
Well, we always think of hair loss with men, and it is true, about 40 to sometimes even 60% of men over time will, whether they lose all their hair or they just have it really thinning, a male pattern baldness, we've all seen that. But it's been a little more taboo. Women didn't used to like to talk about it that much, but there's been more women that have this thinning that occurs, and we'll break down the different types of hair loss. And really up to 30 to 35% of women, especially around the menopausal age, can start to deal with this. And, you know, it's really, it seems like it's more of a cosmetic thing, because, yes, can you live without your hair? Sure. It's not a life or death thing. But it's very psychologically upsetting, and it psychologically causes more stress, as you could imagine.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You don't like what you see in the mirror. So when you're talking about psychological stress, then you are affecting the health of the body. So to me, it is something important. Even if you say, well, I don't care about my hair, I'll wear a wig, it's something that also shows a deeper imbalance in the body. So we should try to figure out, why is your hair really thinning? Or why are you losing your hair? Because then we can figure out what else is wrong with the client, if that makes sense, too.
It does. It does. And I don't think I know of a woman who would not be bothered by the prospect of thinning or losing their hair. I mean, that's a big deal. And what are the main types of hair loss?
There's a couple of different types. And like I said, we don't profess to be hair loss experts, but there's always a hormonal component to hair loss. So let's take the most extreme case, just to give people an example. You know, when someone goes through chemotherapy, they lose all their hair. Now, it's very upsetting, but again, it's a life or death thing, so they do it. And then usually, you know, the hair will grow back. It just takes a while, and it's upsetting. That is because the chemotherapy is usually a stressor, and whenever the body comes in contact with a major stressor all at once, you got into an accident, you had a trauma, you used a strong medication, the body can shed all the hair. Now, again, extreme cases in the case of chemotherapy. But the reason I say that is because what if you're under stress really low level for a long period of time? You don't lose all your hair at once like a cancer patient, but it can cause a thinning over time of hair. So most of what we deal with hormones is what's called an androgenic, and that just means male hormone related, androgenic alopecia. Alopecia just means hair loss. That's all it means. So can you lose hair in a little section at a time? That's called alopecia areata. Sure, that's a rare case where somebody will have spotting and they go to their doctor and they'll say, oh yeah, you had some stress. And they usually fix the stress and the hair comes back. But what we're talking about is the androgenic alopecia, which happens to women and men, not just men. That it's a slow, like I just feel like my hair is getting thinner. Now what happens is each two things can happen. You start to not have as many active follicles. So let's say, I'm just going to come up with a stupid number, like you have a million hairs on your head at one time. Who even knows? Well, instead of having a million hairs, you'll have less than that, you know, 20 or 30% less than that. And you'll notice that, like the number of hairs is less.
Okay.
Then number two, it could be each of the individual hairs are getting thinner. So the overall look is going to be thinner, right? So either of those things relate to what we're going to talk about today, but the main thing is we don't like it when we can start to see a really big part, or we can start to see our scalp through our hair. That's scary.
Yes, it is.
And that's when people start saying, okay, what is going on? My hair, I'm having some sort of hair loss or thinning. We kind of use them interchangeably, and that's really what we want to get into today. So we're not talking about, you know, we lose all your hair with chemotherapy. We're not talking about you have some weird event that you have, like, patches of hair that are gone, and usually the doctor can fix that. We're talking about the miniaturization of the hair follicle, damage to the hair follicle, that over time the hairs that come out are thinner, or there's just less hairs in an active phase at one time.
So what is the most popular type of hair loss for men versus women?
Well, actually, for men, they almost always have the androgenic alopecia, but for women, it's the same thing. It's the slow loss, and we're going to talk about, why do women have androgenic? That sounds like male androgens. What's going on there? why do women have it? But that's the most popular type of hair loss that happens to women, unless they have an extreme case where they can have something called, I'll just call it TE. It's a certain type of hair loss where over time something can trigger. Okay, here's a good example. After pregnancy, a woman goes through a pregnancy, and right after pregnancy, there's the shock of her hormones dropping, and then she'll go through a shedding, which can be scary for a couple of months, and her hair will thin out. No big deal. It'll come back, especially if she gets her hormones right, and we work with women that way. It'll come back. It just takes a couple months. It's just more of the hairs went into a resting phase, and it scared the, you know, it scares the woman, and you know, she loses her hair. Because really, when you think about it, about 70 to 80% of our hair, most of our hair is in what's called an anagen or a growth phase. Then about 10 to 20% is in a resting phase, a telogen phase. So that makes sense. I mean, our bodies need rest, while our hair follicles go in cycles of rest too. So whenever somebody, like after pregnancy or after maybe you had a traumatic accident or you went to war and you had post-traumatic stress disorder, something that triggers it, you can have a couple of months of shedding, and all your hairs go from your anagen or your active phase to your telogen or your resting phase all at one time, and they shed for a couple of months, and it can be scary. But that's not even what we're talking about here. If that happens, you see your doctor, there's things that can be done. We're talking about just over time. I'm in my 30s now. I'm in my 40s and 50s. I'm getting close to menopause. This is getting a lot worse. The hair will start to thin. And that's why I want to talk about today, how the hormones actually affect that. I mean, do you know anyone with that? You notice women as they get older, any friends complain to you about hair loss or thinning or just kind of that?
I know someone really, really, really well who's dealing with that.
Okay.
That would be myself.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. It's becoming more and more. Sometimes women don't want to talk about it. And there's all different products now to cover up the bald spots.
Yes.
I mean, the thinning patches. So you know it's become more a problem where people wouldn't be developing products for it. So we want to talk about how do hormones affect the hair. So this is pretty basic because it builds on what we've talked about before in the last shows if people have been listening. When women are under chronic stress, which we kind of all are living in America, you know, we have our family, we have financial stress, we have, you know, emotional stress of things. We just have so many things. And what happens is our stress hormone cortisol rises. And that's okay because it was meant to buffer us from stress. But when it's high all the time, that's not good. Because what happens is it steals a hormone called progesterone. That's valuable to help our keep our mood good, our sleep good, our weight in line, prevent female cancers. So basically what happens is progesterone goes down, estrogen is dominant, and it's called estrogen dominance. And that leads to all the mood, weight, and sleep issues. And that's what we work on with the Be Balanced program. We balance that out. We raise progesterone. We lower the cortisol. And the woman's sleep gets better, her mood gets better, and her weight, she starts to lose weight. But here's what happens over time if that happens. And as a woman gets older, not only does her progesterone go down, but after menopause, then her estrogen starts to go down. Now, granted, she still has more estrogen than progesterone, which is a problem, so there's still an imbalance there. But her estrogen will start to go down and cause different symptoms like low sex drive and different things. Women will complain about that. But guess what? Now you have two major female sex hormones, estrogen and progesterone, mostly perimenopause and menopause. Now they're lower. So what happens is, women have a little bit of androgens or male hormones. We mostly think of testosterone, so that's easier to say. Because women have that, and because the female hormones go down, the male hormones start to stimulate the receptors on the skin on the face and the receptors in the skin in the head. So what happens is it does a double whammy. It can actually cause women to get little hairs on their chin or on their neck or on their face, kind of like men, which is terrible. Or it overstimulates the hair in the follicles and it thins them, which is like what men get. They get thinning of the hair. So it's like a double. Have you ever heard of that? Women say they have some hair on their face or something.
Yes.
Okay. So what we don't want to do is to have that happen. Now, are we turning into men at that point? No. But what I'm saying is we're not ovulating anymore. We're not having babies. So naturally our hormones are going to fall, and that's okay because God made it that way. But God didn't make it that we were under so much stress that they would fall that quickly and that the levels would go that low. So now you have a woman in her late 40s, early 50s, mid-50s that is saying, yeah, my hair is starting to thin, kind of like my husband's is, and even around the front more, I notice more thinning. And I'm noticing little hairs on my face or whatever, which is kind of a different topic, hirsutism, but it's still those things happen. So all that is it's a direct result of increasing the testosterone's not increasing. It's just it seems like it's higher because the female hormones go down. So it's more of an out of balance there. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It really does. It's very balanced. It's a good explanation of why these things happen.
Right, and that's why it gets worse after menopause. So basically what we're trying to do in general, kind of the same thing we do for all the mood, weight, and sleep issues, that we gently teach women to do stress management. We'll go over this in a minute or two here, some solutions, but we try to lower the cortisol. We get the progesterone levels up, and then the woman's like, wow, I'm sleeping better. My mood is better. I am able to lose weight better. This is great. You know, even my PMS symptoms went away. But here's what happens. When a woman is older, past menopause, and her estrogen actually has dropped, when the woman's progesterone rises, her body has the ability to make its own estrogen. That's why we never were advocates of giving estrogen, because there could be side effects and issues. So it's perfect. It's kind of what God made happen. After you keep your progesterone where it should be, or after you get it back up, the body can make estrogen from other parts of the body. The skin can make it. The fat can make it, because the ovaries are usually gone at that point. They're not working after menopause.
What? How does the body do this, and how do you teach women to make this happen? Is it in the diet? Is it certain routine changes? Or
Well, I always like to start off with the general hormone thing that could be done, and then I definitely like to go into other lifestyle changes. You see what I'm saying? Because it's not like I'm saying everybody's got to come to us and be balanced or do everything that we're saying with our program, but I want to give some general things. So that's a good question. The first thing that women can do is use a natural hormone balancing cream, like a progesterone cream, and it goes directly into the bloodstream. It's cleared out in 18 to 24 hours, and it gently raises progesterone. Now, a doctor that works with bioidentical hormones can work with that. Medical doctors usually use a synthetic form of estrogen, so we don't like that. Or the B-Balance centers do that. You can go online and do that. In my book, The Hormone Shift, I explain ways to pick out a good one. You just want one that says that it's going to be put on thin-skinned areas and rotated. You don't want one that's put on fatty areas, because that can build up in the system. Again, not hurting you, but just not as effective. So a little bit of natural progesterone therapy, and women can even research that on their own, a little natural hormone balancing cream in the form of progesterone, will gently raise progesterone, then estrogen will balance on its own. If you're a younger woman, or if you're an older woman, the body will start to produce it on its own. The fat and skin cells are triggered to do that by the brain when the progesterone levels get balanced, because it's safe to do it then. If your progesterone levels are really low, the body doesn't want to produce a lot of estrogen, because that gap in there can cause a female cancer. So that's why the body kind of is set up that way. Now, that doesn't mean people are never going to get cancer if they're out of balance, but I'm saying generally the body has a safe gate that it says, hey, if this woman's older and she doesn't have any progesterone anymore, we're going to not produce as much estrogen, and then she'll have smaller of a gap, reduce her chances of cancers and things like that. So that's kind of the first thing. Now, there's other lifestyle things that I think are really important. One of them is decreasing sugar. Mm. And I always say that.
You always come back to that, don't you?
Always. And that's no fun, because I like sugar too. So it's like, but here's the interesting thing about sugar, and I think people understand this. Obviously, if you eat too much sugar, there's a chance of getting diabetes, and people know that. Well, did you ever notice that with diabetics, they have problems sometimes with their eyes, they have problems with their feet neuropathy, or they have problems with what's called microcirculation. With the diabetes, the circulation, the sugar problem, can't get to the tiny veins and the arteries in the eyes and the capillaries and the feet. They have neuropathy and things like that, and that's no fun. Well, guess what? There's another small area that needs to get the capillaries is hair. So what will happen is, if you often notice, people with really bad diabetes, or as they get older, they'll really have a thinning of hair, men and women. I've seen some women with really thin hair. So what am I saying? We don't have diabetes right now, but if diabetes can cause more intense hair loss and decreases in microcirculation for major problems, sugar in and of itself decreases microcirculation. And that's why we want to just cut down on refined sugars, refined carbohydrates, starches, bagels, muffins, breads, and then, of course, the cakes and candies and things like that. So it doesn't mean you can't always have them, but
moderation.
You just want to watch.
Yeah.
Moderation, have them maybe once a day, or maybe eat cleaner during the weekend, have them on the weekends.
What about sugar substitutes, Dawn? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, good question. The best one that we recommend, you can get it anywhere, Google it or go online, is stevia, S-T-E-V-I-A. That's an herbal one, and it will not affect the liver negatively. I will say this, the pink and the blue packets, I won't say any specific names, but the little, those types of ones, I could say Saccharin and NutraSweet, which are in those two, but I won't say the brand names. They are not good because they actually cause issues with the liver, and they can also cause a reactive hypoglycemia that can make you tend to want more sugar later because the body thinks there's sugar there. So stevia is really the one we recommend. But if someone isn't as sensitive and they want to use honey, even honey or coconut syrup, coconut syrup sweetener, they both have a little bit of a lower glycemic index, and they're going to be a little healthier for you than white table sugar. But stevia is one of the best. And just weaning yourself to have less of a sweet taste will make you be less used to having so much sugar, if that makes sense.
It does. Perfect sense. These are great points. What can someone do to shift hormones back and balance them for thicker hair and hair loss prevention?
Well, the best thing, like I said, to do is a couple things we'll add to that is raise the progesterone, then the estrogen will naturally raise. When you stop eating as much sugar, it's interesting. You become more insulin balanced, and you don't become insulin resistant, which is on its way to diabetes. So when you become less insulin resistant, going away from diabetes, your body produces less testosterone, because if you do too much sugar, it's a stress to the body, and the woman's body will actually start to produce more testosterone. And didn't we say that's bad? We don't want those male hormones because they're going to cause thinning hair. They get converted to a stronger male hormone, a DHT, and that causes thinning hair. Obviously, I don't want to say just having male hormones is going to cause, for a man, they have male hormones. But for a woman to have more of them than to be eating too much sugar, it converts very easily to this DHT, and it really attacks the hair. So the other thing we can do is do some type of stress management every day. Anything that you can do that we talked about, like a prayer meditation time, like even 20 minutes a day that you could just take a deep breath, relax, listen to some music, pray, meditate. There's something called sound wave therapy that you can Google that you use little headphones. What it does is it relaxes the brain waves. Anything that's doing that will take the body out of the fight or flight mode, which is what we're in all the time. That's the problem.
That's so
it's not
true.
Like we have to, you know what I mean? Don't you always feel like you want to take a Russian?
I talk to so many people, and they share that with me, Dawn, you know, just what people are going through with a rat race economy, a world that seems to be totally out of control. It affects, you know, sometimes you just turn off the news. I would think that's a part of your therapy. Just walk away from it, turn it off, and listen to some beautiful music and relax. Do you recommend any supplements or minerals or anything like that to help with?
Well, it's always good. I always tell people it's always good. Extra vitamin B and C, they're water soluble, so they go through you faster when you are under stress. So I always recommend a good multivitamin. And that usually has a decent amount of vitamin C, B, and C in it. But if you ever want to get some extra vitamin B and C, sometimes they come in little powders. There's a company called Emergency, and it's Emergence with a big C on it. And that can be poured in. It has a little bit of B in there, too. It has some extra minerals. That gives energy, but it gets you extra B and C. So extra B and C are always really good. The other thing that's important, I think in America we do eat plenty of protein. We eat plenty of everything, but we eat plenty of protein. So that's not an issue, but we don't break it down as well. So a digestive enzyme will help break down protein better, and that will help the hair, because inadequate protein is not, because hair is made of protein, is not good. Now you say, well, what's going on? We eat plenty of protein. It's not how much you eat. It's how much you break down and digest and get into the bloodstream, into the system. So a digestive enzyme, a good multivitamin, extra B and C. The other thing that's just, it's another real basic supplement that I take every day is an omega-3s. Like the flaxseed oil, the fish seed oil, that is really, really, really good for balancing blood sugar, balancing hormones, and good for the hair as well. So they're just like a couple of things, but again, the meditation, the relaxation will actually increase blood flow to the head, which we just said, we want the blood there. We want the blood to get to those follicles to be able to get the nutrients there, to be able to get them in that good, thick, strong growing phase.
Well, certainly that is central to being balanced. Is not only it plays a part in health, is thinking right, and you know, centering our thoughts on God's word and centering on God as we pray when we're feeling overwhelmed. Which you know, on some days it's every other 5 minutes or so. That's
right,
just real life
right.
Living. So, Dawn, unfortunately, we are just about out of time, but I don't want to let you go until you please tell us how we can reach you. And remind us again about the King of Prussia and Bluebell locations.
Yes. So basically, anybody that maybe they want to see if the hormones are balanced, you just go to Balanced Centers with an S, BeBalancedCenters.com, and it will have all the different locations that we have, including the Bluebell, and the, because we have one in Harrisburg and Lancaster, has all the locations there. And then they can take also a hormone test to see if their hormones are balanced, or email us or anything like that.
Okay. Dawn, thank you so much for being with us again this week. We look forward to visiting with you again next month.
All right. Thanks so much, Kim. Take care.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Goodbye.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
Welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. Today here with Dawn Cotillo with the franchise of Be Balanced Centers. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Good, good. I'm excited to be back, of course.
Yes, we're so thankful to have you on the Balanced Life. And for our listeners who don't know Dawn Cotillo, she is a natural hormone therapy practitioner. And the exciting thing about her is she's an author of The Hormone Shift, and she has also appeared on CBS The Doctors. That's pretty cool, right? She's been on CBS, ABC, Fox, and the Tribune. So we're so thankful to have you on our show and to teach us about nutrition and caring for our bodies. And we just thank you for that, Dawn.
Yes, we only get one, so we got to take care of it as long as we can. Some people take care of their cars better than their bodies, so we got to change that.
Isn't that the truth? And my aunt always says, well, if I knew I'd lived this long, I would have taken better care of myself. So I think at my age, I'm starting to understand that, fortunately or unfortunately, we all have to have the realization sometime. But I know today you wanted to talk about sugar and your hormones. And obviously, there's some big effect of sugar on your hormones. So what does sugar do to you and your...
Well, it's funny we're just talking about aging and not knowing how long we're going to live. It's funny because sugar is one of the biggest things that actually ages us. I didn't have this in my script, but they even did studies, and this is just a side note. When we think of aging, a lot of times we think of what we see in the mirror, right, like our skin. You know, all my skin's aging. They've done research that sugar actually acts, it's called something called glycation, that it actually does something to proteins in your skin that causes your skin to wrinkle faster and easier.
Oh,
so there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
That should be the whole show, because that enough should make us not to eat too much sugar.
So true. That should be the biggest deterrent there is. Oh, my goodness.
Know,
all right,
I'm
cutting out sugar altogether. I'm rushing.
But when you want it, you know, that doesn't always do it. But I thought that was funny, since you were saying about aging and stuff, sugar is one of the biggest things that ages us. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about, and then maybe I'll try to think, would you mind if I break it down what sugar is first, like as far as like, you know, we talk about the word carbohydrates. So
sure.
If I said to you, what do you think carbohydrates is? What you know, because everybody's their own definition. What do you think fits into that class of food? Because that's kind of the class of food that sugar fits into.
I think carbohydrates is sugar. Is that correct or no?
It is, but it includes some good things. It includes fruits and vegetables. They're your best ones.
Okay.
So they're technically carbohydrates. Then it includes your grains, you know, your rices and your couscous and your oats, which are, you know, good too. There's still some sugar content, but they're fibrous. And then it includes the starches, which is what I think we think of, like the white bread and the flour items, like
bagels and, you know, pasta and things like that, which we know, we all kind of roll our eyes, we know they're kind of fattening and we know they're not good for you. And then it goes down to the simple sugars like a candy bar or a piece of cake.
Okay.
So I just wanted to kind of say that because sometimes we say, oh, the word carbs, carbs are bad, don't eat carbs, and that's short for carbohydrates. But really, what we don't mind the fruits and vegetables. We're going to kind of go from everything from the grains and below today, but really focusing on simple sugars that we don't want to have, like things made with flour, like the pastas and breads, as well as the candy and the cake and the cookies. Like so that's kind of where our focus will be. That's going to cause the most reaction with your hormones, okay? So I kind of wanted to clarify that.
I'm glad you did, because that's definitely a misunderstanding, including on my part. So you're saying that the sugar and fruit, that's okay. That's a good type of sugar.
That's a good type of sugar. And we're going to touch back on that again. We'll compare fruit and vegetables. But the sugar and fruit, they have the fiber with it.
Okay.
So that's why when you just drink apple juice, it's not as good for you as far as your blood sugar. Remember, that's what we're talking about. So sugar and blood sugar and hormones. It's not as healthy for you. Whereas if you eat an apple kind of the way God made it off the tree, there is some sugar in the apple, but the fiber in it slows it down absorption. So it doesn't cause that spike in blood sugar and drop. Almost like when you drink a soda or you eat a candy bar. You know how there's kind of a bad reaction? Like you have energy and then you're tired or you're irritable afterwards. That's what happens with simple sugars, but in fruit, there's also the fiber in there. And that's why it's much better to eat an apple than to drink apple juice or something like that.
So in the fruit and the fiber, that sustains your energy longer, whereas the simple sugars allows your sugar to spike and then drop. Is that correct?
Right. So it's not just sugar. It's how the sugar is absorbed and how it's worked in the body. And that's where the more the fiber is, like the vegetables and fruits, even potatoes and things like that, they have fiber in them. And the grains have some fiber, but the starchy things and the breads and the cakes and the candies and the simple sugars and even the sodas don't have that. And that's what man made. That's not what God made. And that's what causes the problems with the blood sugar and the hormones that we're going to get into today.
All right. Russ is hiding his Coca-Cola and his Twizzlers.
Okay.
So we won't, since you can't see that on radio, we won't mention that. Okay. So
don't tell anybody. Okay.
Don't tell anybody. So how, if you were to drink a soda or eat Twizzlers, how does that sugar imbalance your hormones? What's throwing Russ off here?
Well, you know, a lot of times on the show, we talk about estrogen and progesterone, which is more of our sex hormones. And that's what women think of when they think about hormones. They think about PMS, menopausal issues, mood, weight, sleep issues. And we're all going to touch on that because we always tie into that. But the biggest hormone that we have that we forget the hormone is insulin. Okay? So you've heard of insulin before. That's
sure.
When people's insulin gets, I'll say, messed up or imbalanced. That's when they have diabetes or whatever. So we're going to talk just about what happens is whenever you eat anything with sugar in it, even fruit, I'll admit, it causes your blood sugar to go up, and then it causes the hormone insulin to come out into the bloodstream. The pancreas releases insulin. The role of insulin is to get sugar into the cell so that you have energy. Obviously, we need sugar for energy. We can get some energy from protein and fat, but sugar gives us quick energy, which is nice. If we ever happen to run away from a lion or something like that, that's what in the olden days, that's what they need the quick sugar for. So insulin helps that. Now, what happens is people forget that sugar is a stimulant. So when we're constantly eating sugar and it's stimulating us and our insulin's constantly high, our stress hormone cortisol, which we've talked about in many shows, gets high as well. Because sugar is a form of stress. It's a stimulant. It's a type of stress, just like caffeine is or alcohol is. Candy and sugars are. They're not meant to be eaten very often. So when that happens, our stress hormones start rising. And then we talked about in the past, when our stress hormones rise, it causes the imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, which is our women's main hormones, and that causes weight issues, mood issues, sleep issues, bad PMS issues, bad menopausal issues. So I thought initially I wanted to tie in what sugar does to your stress hormones. It raises cortisol, and then what it does to your sex hormones, it imbalances them. So from a hormonal, from an endocrine perspective, sugar is not going to be your friend as far as what it's going to do to you long term. And women that are a little bit older, and you know, us women in our 40s and 50s and beyond, it's going to be worse. Now, if you're 20, you know, you can get away with some, you know, some sodas or whatever. It's not good for you, but you can get away from it. But when you get older, it actually, and the imbalances of the hormones are already a little bit more, it can exacerbate them. So that's why I kind of wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, sugar. I mean, why are we having it? Why are we eating all these processed foods? Why are we eating all this sugar? And especially it causes wrinkles. But I mean,
Well, you know what's funny is this is such an interesting example. One of the PhDs that I had done some research with, you know, told me this, and he's a researcher, so he's very smart. Basically said that fruit is basically just vegetable with sugar in it. Because the same nutrients that are in vegetables are in fruit. He said if you never wanted to eat fruit ever again, you wouldn't be missing anything in your diet if you just ate vegetables.
Interesting. Okay.
And I said, okay. Well, back in the hunter-gatherer times, when before the agricultural society, when we had a lot of wheat and corn, okay, back in the hunter-gatherer, when people were more eating like nuts and berries and seeds and meats and you know oils and things like that, back in those days, they didn't have the sugars that we have. They didn't have the starches. They didn't have the breads or the pancakes or the pastas. They just didn't have it. So they ate more meat, and then they ate vegetables. They would eat a little bit of fruit, and then they would have the grains. They would have the nuts and things like that. But the only time they were able to get fruit was in the summertime. Think about it. Most of the time.
True.
So the purpose of fruit, he explained to me, was for these people to eat lots of fruit in the summertime and actually become a little bit insulin resistant and start to gain some weight.
Oh, and be prepared for the winter, right?
Yes, that's exactly what. And that's what he said that, you know, God initially made fruit for was so that it's the only, out of the fruit groups, it's the only one with the sugar in it. You know, nuts and oils and meats and things don't have sugar. The protein and fat don't have sugar in, but carbohydrates or simple sugars like fruit do. So they would actually put on some weight, and then in the winter they would have that extra 10 or 15 pounds. If they were ever starving a day because they couldn't get food because it was too cold out or something like that, they would actually be able to burn off that extra fat. So that's the main goal of sugar. Sugar is to put a little bit of fat on you so that if there's ever a famine, you would have that fat to eat. Well, do we have any famines in America today? No.
That could be debatable
kind of
in some areas, but yeah. No, for the
but
most
in general,
part, right.
So what happens is we end up eating sugar all year round, and not only do we eat food all year round, we have, you know, like I said, we have pancakes, we have, you know, bagels, we have muffins, so we're doing that all year round, and we don't ever give our sugar a chance to stabilize. Like, here's an example with a bear. A bear all summer will eat certain foods that will fatten him up. And then a bear goes to hibernation all winter and will eat off of his own fat. He'll live off his fat in hibernation. Now, he's just laying there. He's not living. He's just laying there. He's not being active like we are. And then in the spring, he comes out and he's good again. You see what I'm saying? So it's, and then actually spring, he has a slightly different diet. But then later in the summer, into the fall, he'll start to eat foods to fatten him up again. So it's interesting.
It is. It's amazing how God engineered our bodies to do exactly what they're supposed to do. And then humans tend to, yeah.
And so then we abuse it. So that's the thing. So I just wanted to kind of make that clear that we really shouldn't be eating tons of sugar. So now what does that mean? Does that mean we're not going to eat, you know, sugar in your mouth? No, but it means that since it was supposed to be that way, then basically September through, you know, April or May, we should really try to watch it a little bit more because our body wasn't meant to have that. And in the summertime, when there is more fruit and there's more parties and things like that, maybe you have a little bit more. But let's get a little bit into what happens when we already know that it causes imbalance, or what happens when we eat too much sugar.
Right? Yeah, like that was going to be my next question, because you talk about sugar as a stimulant, and to me that sugar sounds like it can be addicting also.
It's very addictive. Some scientists say that they study the brain and sugar can be more addicting than like cocaine or different drugs. The problem is, which is very interesting. The problem is you can't get away from food. Like, you can say, okay, I'm going to be in drug rehab and I'm never going to drink alcohol again, or I'm never going to take drugs again. But you can't say I'm never going to eat again. So it's very interesting. It can be addicting. Now, since you brought that up, I'm going to give the listeners a little test to take, and you can even take it too. It's a real fun. It's a simple test you can take. You go home and you put a glass of water. It doesn't matter what kind of water. If it's well water, it doesn't matter. Whatever, by your bed, and make it clear, like a glass you can see through. Put it by your bed at night. Okay. You go to sleep. When you wake up first thing in the morning, you see that glass of water, and you spit into the glass of water. That might sound a little gross, but you kind of gather some saliva.
Oh, no.
This is what you do. Yeah. And you need to do that before you brush your teeth or use mouthwash or eat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then you leave the water sitting for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and usually you'll see something by then. If the saliva floats on the top, you're fine. So floating is fine. If the saliva starts to break up and make little strings, a little bit gross, and sink down or the whole thing falls down, that means you have excess candida yeast in your system, which comes from having too much sugar. And if you do have excess candida yeast, it means you'll crave a lot more. Like you said, you'll be more addicted to sugar.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
So it's a cool test. We do that in our centers, in our B-Balance centers, to see if women, when they come in, that, you know, I'm overweight, to see if they have a sugar addiction. And then all you need to do, if you do have this yeast overgrowth, you're supposed to have some yeast in your body, but you're also supposed to have a lot of friendly, good bacteria that's in the digestive system that overcomes the yeast, so keeps you balanced. So mm-hmm. what we have people do is we just have them take a couple of probiotics a day for about a month or two and eat a little bit less sugar, and then their good bacteria gets back in balance with their yeast, and their yeast gets under control. They pass that little test. They'll take it the next month and pass it, and then they don't have as strong of a craving for sugar. So
wow.
if that makes sense, yeah. So we don't want to have people that have extra reasons to crave sugar, and that's an extra candida is one reason.
I think that's great that B-Balance Centers has simple tests that you can perform. They're not painful. They're not hard to do. So I think that's really great that you have focused on women and have these measurement tools that you can do and
yeah, you
easily.
Do it
at home yeah.
So it's kind of neat. So, I mean, that's the one thing, because if you have excess candida, you could crave more. There are certain medications that will make people crave a little bit more, and you can talk to your doctor about that if you're on them, that they'll cause you to crave more. But, you know, stress makes you crave more sugar, so we can talk about that in a little bit. But I think the biggest thing that makes you crave sugar, and I think you'll totally agree with this, is when you have sugar. So if you wake up one day and you have, like, a big omelet for breakfast, you know, Saturday, and then you're running around all day, working around the house, going to the store, not even thinking about food, and you're feeling good. You have that good omelet. It's got some fat, got some protein. Another day you wake up and you say, let's go to a place and have pancakes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to feel after that? How are you going to feel that afternoon?
Not well. You're going to feel sluggish and tired.
And you crave more sugar, because what happens is you do feel tired. You'll feel an energy initially. Blood sugar will go up, then it'll drop, and then you'll start to crave. And in about an hour or two, you'll be saying, hey, give me some M&M's. Whereas the day that you ate the egg, you weren't even thinking about candy. You were just going about your day.
That's true.
The other thing to remember is starting your day with sugar will make you the whole day. Then you have the M&Ms. Then all of a sudden you want the donut in the afternoon. The rest of the day is messed up.
Wow.
So I do tell people this. Start off your day with maybe a protein shake. And we talked about the phone call, doing a protein shake, maybe putting a tablespoon of coconut oil in it, because that burns real slow. So the protein and the fat will stabilize your blood sugar. Start with eggs in the morning, or maybe have some nuts, or if you're going to have a cereal, have a whole grain cereal, put some nuts on it. Starting the morning without sugar will help your day and help you not crave sugar, as well as getting rid of excess sugar with the candida test, you know, by balancing the candida. Those are two things that can help with your actual physical cravings, which I think was a great point.
Yeah, that's really great. Starting off your day, that's very important.
Because if you start off on the wrong foot, the other thing people do, when we talked about caffeine, is they'll start off with just coffee. And sometimes they put a lot of sugar in it. What I'll tell them to do, and this sounds funny, is if you're going to have coffee, you can put some coconut oil in your coffee or put heavy cream in your coffee. Because those are the things that the fat in those things will help stabilize the blood sugar to help balance the caffeine. Because caffeine will do the same thing. Blood sugar up, blood sugar down, and it'll cause you to crave sugar probably mid-morning. So that's why a donut goes so good with coffee, because people, if they have the coffee, they're like, their blood sugar drops and they want a donut later.
Double whammy.
Starting your day with the worst thing. So, but here's what happens. Like, let's go back to the original question you had said about what are some symptoms, or what happens if you have too much sugar?
Yeah.
I think you'll agree. You, a lot of times, will get irritable. Like, you'll feel this energy surge, but then your energy will go down. You don't even know why, but you start snipping and you get, like, irritable. Some people will get kind of moody, which irritable and moody are kind of similar. Or you'll kind of have mood swings. Or if you're maybe a little bit older, into the range of the 40s and 50s, you can start to have hot flashes or a night sweat, because mm-hmm. the blood sugar goes up and goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then you start to feel fatigued. So then you start to crave more sugar. Then you start to feel bloated. but all of these symptoms are just like, man, I don't really feel good. Then, you know, if you're doing too much sugar all the time, you'll have worsening PMS or menopausal symptoms, which is pretty much some of the symptoms I mentioned as well as some other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So not good for eating too much sugar. We just will not feel good.
And some people think that's feeling that way is the norm. And that's kind of scary too, you know? So it's good you're building awareness that we can change this and help ourselves.
Because I think when even at our Be Balanced Centers, when we get women to feel better without sugar, like do a challenge of 7 days without sugar. It doesn't have to be, you know, fruit. Just say, I'm not going to have any bread, pasta, crackers, anything with flour, made with flour or in a box for like 1 week. I can eat as much meat as I want, have as much vegetables as I want, you know, have a couple pieces of fruit a day, have as much butter as I want, but I'm not going to have any of that. Almost like a paleo diet. Mm. And I bet you'll notice something. Because here's the other thing. Long term, if you have too much sugar, remember we said sugar causes insulin to be hanging out in your bloodstream because insulin's released every time you have sugar. So if you eat sugar all day long, oh, I'm drinking a little bit of soda, I'm eating a little bit of Swedish fish, I'm, you know, munching on Twizzlers, I'm doing whatever. If you do that all day, insulin is constantly hanging out in your bloodstream. And when insulin constantly hangs out in the bloodstream, the body becomes something called insulin resistant, and it's a pre-diabetic condition. Eventually, when you're insulin resistant, you can turn diabetic, you know, in the next couple of years, or some people sooner.
Okay.
So we don't want that. So think of it, it's almost like insulin is knocking on the doors of your cells and saying, hey, I have some sugar for you. Can you open up and let the sugar in so you have energy? And the cells will say, yeah, come on in. But if insulin's constantly knocking on the doors, the cells almost don't hear it anymore, and therefore you become insulin resistant. It takes more and more insulin to get the sugar in the cells. So it's almost like, I use the example in my book that if you had a pesky neighbor, first of all, if you moved to a new neighborhood and you had a neighbor come over and say, oh, you know, welcome, here's some cookies or something like that, you go, oh, thanks, you know, and he stops over once in a while and comes in and brings you gifts. You're like, oh, that's nice, this neighbor's nice. But then if the neighbor is over your house all the time, constantly hanging outside your door, you'd be like, you know what, this guy's crazy, I'm not going to let him in. And that's kind of a fun little dubbed down example of what happens when you become insulin resistant. And then we get on the road to diabetes. We can have circulatory problems. You know, when people are diabetic, their tiny arteries and veins, they get blocked off, so you can't, it affects your eyes, it affects your feet and the hands. So, I mean, it's not fun when you see someone with advanced diabetes. So that's what we want to stay away from, and that's where sugar can lead us.
Yeah, I didn't know what caused diabetes, but diabetes is not reversible or curable, is it? I know it's treatable, but...
Well, you know what? That's kind of funny that you say that. Actually, and I believe it was quoted from the director of the Diabetic Association, that you can really affect diabetes with diet. So if you, you know, now type 1 is you're born with that. But type 2, a lot, I've seen many clients go off of their diabetes medicine. Like they have medicine that's pre-diabetic or it's in a pill form. It's not insulin, let me say that.
Okay.
If they're on those, they'll actually, when they do our diet, they lower their sugar and do that, what I just said, to take that 7-day challenge, they can literally lower their pill form of insulin type of medication. And if they're on insulin, they can lower it dramatically, and some of them can even go off. Now,
wow, that's wonderful.
Do this with your, it's amazing. Now, you always do it with your doctor, and you always check yourself. You don't just randomly go off medicine.
Right.
But, yeah, so diabetes is one of the most treatable ones. I mean, as opposed to, like, cancer or, they don't say stroke or something like that, you know, heart disease.
Okay.
But it's one of those treatable ones, and you can really handle it a lot yourself. And you can use the medications until you don't need them or until you need minute amount of them. So definitely, that's a really good point, that we can actually prevent it, and then we can even treat it with making food. Food should be our medicine.
Yeah, when does it come to the realization that, you know, food and exercise is our best medicine? You know, sometimes we all need a kick in the pants to actually realize we could be helping ourselves a lot easier with diet.
Yes, we call it. And I remember in one of our previous phone conversations, we were talking about relaxation, and I was saying how important it is, because when you do something called relaxation therapy, and I'll explain that in a minute, you actually lower and balance your blood sugar, because it's not just you eating sugar that messes up your blood sugar. It's by you thinking bad thoughts, like being under stress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're under stress, your body thinks that you need to run away from a lion or a bear, whereas really it's just your boss yelling at you, you're stuck in traffic. So when you're under stress in your head and you're getting upset, your body. Your body releases blood sugar because it releases sugar in your bloodstream that's stored in your muscle cells because it, or your liver, because it thinks you need to run away, so it's giving you energy, and then insulin comes out anyway. So you could become insulin resistant just from an extremely high stress job. And that's where relaxation therapy is great to prevent diabetes. It's great for diabetics. It's great for people that have cravings, any type of sugar problem. Relaxation, it only has to be 20 minutes a day. And you get into a deep, you do some deep breathing, and you can use it as a prayer time. You can use it as a focus time to focus on something. There's something people can Google. It's called sound wave, the word sound and wave therapy. Sound wave therapy, you put headphones on, in 20 minutes, you feel like you had a two-hour nap. The sound waves go into the ear, and they relax the brain waves. Mm-hmm. Almost like a vacation for your brain. It feels like a two-hour nap in 20 minutes.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I love it.
That sounds
I try to do
great.
It every day. Yeah, so that stabilizes blood sugar, and it makes your cravings go down for sugar as well. When you come out of it, you feel wonderful.
That is wonderful. Now, Dawn, we're down to 2 minutes. So what are the final tips you can give us to balance our blood sugar? And how can women find out more about this whole hormone imbalance and sugar?
Yes. Well, quickly, they can go to Be Balanced Centers, with an S, BeBalanceCenters.com website. And we have a quick test to tell if you have a hormone imbalance. And most people do because they're eating too much sugar. So a quick thing that we do in our center is we give women a little bit of natural progesterone. So they can Google natural progesterone cream. I talk about it in my book, The Hormone Shift. There's information on our website. And progesterone actually stabilizes blood sugar. It also helps stabilize mood. You have less cravings, and you don't want all this sugar. And if you do eat it, it also helps your body handle it better. That's number one. Number two, we talked about not starting your day with sugar. So starting your day with a protein shake, maybe some coconut oil in there, or if you're going to have coffee, put some heavy cream in it. And then throughout the day, every couple of hours, if you eat three meals a day, great, but have two snacks in between and do snacks of nuts or nut butters or even incorporating into your meals fattier meats like salmon. Any type of fat or protein or fiber is going to stabilize blood sugar. So we don't want to go long hours without eating, and we don't want to have too much sugar in our daily diet.
Those are all great tips. We always enjoy having Dawn Cotillo from BeBalancedCenters.com. Dawn, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it. And just knowing that diet, exercise, less stress, less sugar helps us be more balanced, and balanced matters. I am Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. Thank you.
Start your own business today. Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Centers provides a unique opportunity to address a growing demand to help millions of women over the age of 35. The Be Balanced franchise has a patent-pending solution to lose stubborn weight, help women manage their mood and sleep issues that are all caused by hormonal shifts. Visit BeBalancedFranchise.com or call 800-361-8060. That's 800-361-8060 to learn more and start your own business today.
Tune in to WFYL every Saturday at noon to hear host Diane Kaczynski from Pampered Paws Pet Care PA and Jacques Schiller from Soap and Bean Pet Care discuss pet-related topics, stories, and issues related to pets. Listen in on interviews with local pet businesses and companies from the Philadelphia area.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. A quote from Abraham Lincoln.